The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
In Parashat Kitavo, in the fourth portion of the Parashah, we find a continuation of the same topic that was begun in the beginning of Parashat Re'eh that we meditated upon several weeks ago. The topic was the fact that when the Jewish people enter the land of Israel, they are instructed to go to Shechem and to give the blessings on Mount Gerizim and the curses on Mount Eval. Well, here we find the continuation of that instruction, how that mitzvah is, what is meant to be done there. And here, in addition to the image of the two mountains that we discussed and we meditated upon then, we have the image of this very unique altar that was built on the mountain of Eval that we mentioned it, but now this is now the week that we are to meditate upon it in depth. That on the barren mountain, the mountain of the curse, which is Har Eval, so we are told that this is the mountain that we shall build an altar for Hashem. Now, we said then, and now we're going to explain in greater depth, that this is a very, very special altar, that there's no altar which is like this in all of the Torah, in the whole Bible, in all of Jewish tradition. That in addition to being an altar for God, an altar upon which we sacrifices, but this, the stones, the massive and perfect stones that this altar was constructed from, we're also told that we are to inscribe, to write, to engrave the whole Torah, actually in 70 different languages, on these stones, in order that from this altar and these stones, not only the Jewish people, but all of the 70 peoples on earth will be able to read and understand the laws of the Torah and what is pertinent and what God means in order to correct and perfect all of the souls on earth in order to bring us immediately to our full and complete and true redemption with the coming of Mashiach. So once more, there's no other altar in all of Jewish tradition in the whole Torah that is both for the purpose of sacrifice, which is serving God. Sacrifice means the serving God, as well as conveying to us that the altar itself is conveying to us and actually to the whole world in a way that there's nothing similar to this in the whole Bible, a physical symbol which is conveying to the whole world the teachings of God for the Jewish people and for all of humanity. So after beginning to focus upon this very, very special symbol, which is the altar on Har Eval, so now I'll read a little bit and try to translate immediately into English how the Torah describes what we are to do when we pass over the Jordan River. So it says, and this is now the beginning once more of the fourth portion of Ki Tavo, of this week's Torah reading. It says that Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "You shall guard the commandment that I am giving you to you this day. And upon that day, when you will pass over the Jordan River to the earth that God your God is giving you, you shall erect and create great stones, big, massive stones." The idiom in Hebrew is avanim gedolot. Nisadeta otam basid is also a very important image, that you shall plaster them, just like a person plasters a house with plaster, which is called seed. You shall plaster them with plaster. Well, actually, there is a machlokas. There are two opinions of the sages whether the script that was written on these stones, as we'll presently see, whether that was on the plaster or under the plaster. It was whether first the script was written and then it was the stones were plastered, or whether first the stones were plastered and then on the plaster the Torah was written. In any event, as we'll now see, this very unusual thing, because altars are not usually plastered, but here it actually repeats it twice, just like two witnesses that testify to this part of the commandment, that the stones and the altar is to be plastered. Here it says in this verse, which is verse number 2 of this section, Vesadata, the verse ends with the phrase Vesadata otam basid, you shall plaster them with plaster. And it's these very same words and the very same phrase repeats itself two verses later at the end of verse 4, which also concludes Vesadata otam basid, and shall plaster them with plaster. Alright, so after saying this, the Torah continues to say, and you shall inscribe, you shall write on them all of the words of this Torah when you pass over to the land of Israel, in order that when you come to the land that Hashem, your God, is giving you, which is a land flowing with milk and honey, as Hashem has spoken to you, as Hashem, the God of your forefathers, has spoken to you, and when you pass over the Jordan, you shall erect these stones, which I am now commanding you to do this day. And where shall you erect these stones? On the mountain of Eval. So it explicitly indicates that the place of this altar is Har Eval. And once more, it says, as we mentioned before, it repeats the phrase "Vesadeta otam basid," and you shall plaster them with plaster. And then it says, "Uvanita sham mizbeach l'Hashem Elokecha," you shall build there, as the verb that's used in reference to the stones is to erect, takimo, and the verb that is used in reference to now it's becoming an altar for God is "Uvanita," you shall build. It's like the same word that we discussed and we meditated upon in the last Torah reading, when you build a new house. So this is also building an altar. The same word which relates to understanding, as we said, explained it last week. "Uvanita sham mizbeach l'Hashem Elokecha," you shall build there an altar for God your God, a altar of stones. "Lo taniv aleihem bazal," you shall not place and not cut these stones with any iron object. The relation between the stones and not having the stones being touched or being cut with iron applies also to the altar in the temple of Jerusalem as well. The normal explanation of the sages is that iron is the metal that's used with weapons, with swords and the like, and with knives, and it shortens life, and it should not touch the stones of the altar, which comes to elongate to give more length, both quantitatively as well as qualitatively. That's the essence to life. It's as though the two don't go together. But nonetheless, we'll take note of a verse that we read also a few weeks ago when we meditated upon the description of the beauty of the land of Israel in the Torah reading of Akev. So there, one of the descriptive pictures of Israel is that it says Asher Avaneha Barcel, that's a land that its stones are iron. Meaning there is something about the stone itself which is iron, that the stones of Israel are all iron. Here it says take these stones and don't have iron touch the stones. Meaning that what do we learn from this? That there are actually two levels of iron. Iron, there are seven metals in the Torah, which correspond to the seven attributes of the heart. and all of the other sevens in the Torah, iron is the last of the seven. It corresponds to Malchut, to kingdom. Now there is, of all of the powers of the soul, the one which is most liable to be negative is Malchut. But Malchut, there is good Malchut, which is good kingdom, but more often than good kingdoms we experience on earth throughout the history of mankind that there are bad kingdoms, bad rulers, because kingdom comes from the desire to rule, which is the greatest power drive and egoistic and egocentric force of the soul. That's why usually Malchut, kingdom, and Barzel is not positive. And that type of Barzel actually shortens life. It's negative kingdom. And that's why it's not meant to touch the stones of the altar of God, which comes to elongate life. Whereas the stones of Israel are the holy Barzel. We're even taught that in the future the temple will be built with iron. The Bayit Chadash, the new house, which is the new temple of the future, because then the kingdom will be 100% holy. So on the one hand, the essence of the stones of Israel are the holy iron, which is the holy kingdom. But foreign iron shall not touch the stones of the altar of Hashem. So that's what the verse here emphasizes. Then it goes on to say, Avanim Shlemot, first to describe these stones as massive, great stones, Avanim Gdolot. Now there's another descriptive word for these stones, Avanim Shlemot, perfect, complete stones. Once more, that they have not been cut by iron or at all. These are stones straight from nature, and they're perfect in themselves. Now at this point, we'll explain where these stones actually come from. So we're taught that these stones were taken out of the Jordan River itself when the Jews, actually the Jordan River, just like the Red Sea split, just like the Red Sea split upon the Exodus from Egypt, so did the Jordan River split when the Jewish people passed over the Jordan River together with Joshua. And from the bed of the river, these stones were taken out, and they were perfect stones. They were 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. And Rashi says that actually there were three sets of these 12 stones. One set was erected and constructed in the bed of the Jordan River itself. And then another set of stones was constructed in the campsite, which is called Gilgal. And the third set of stones was constructed here on Mount Eval, which is the mitzvah that now we're relating to. So that is also a secret of these three sets of 12 stones that all come from the bed of the Jordan River. Before, they're described as massive stones, and now they're described as complete, perfect stones. Avanim shteimo tivneh, you shall build the altar of God your God, and you shall sacrifice sacrifices to Hashem Elokecho, your God. And it says, V'zavachta shlamim, their sacrifices, the whole sacrifices is burnt up to God, and their sacrifices, that part of it is eaten by the priest and by the person that brought the sacrifice. That's called shlamim, which are peaceful sacrifices, that everybody has a part of the sacrifice, and they create unity within the Jewish people. So both, it says that you should have the olot sacrifice to Hashem, which are those that are the burnt offerings, and then the shlamim also, and you shall eat them there. V'samachta b'shnei Hashem Elokecha. And it says that the experience that you shall have here on this mountain, and this is the mountain of the curse, let us remember once more, is that you come to an ecstatic state of joy in Hashem with this altar and these sacrifices. And then it goes on, the final verse reads, V'katavta ala avanim et kol divrei ha-Torah azot, you shall inscribe right on these stones all of the words of this Torah. And the final idiom phrase which concludes the whole story is Ba'er Hitev, which is completely explained. It's totally well explained. Now, Rashi, based upon the sages, says that that phrase, which is the concluding phrase, Ba'er Eitev, means B'Shivim Lashon, in 70 languages. That for every nation and every person on earth should be able to read and learn the Torah from the words of the Torah, of all of the words of the Torah that are inscribed upon these stones. Just physically, how it's possible to write the whole Torah times 70 or times 71 in Hebrew and all the other 70 languages of the world on 12 stones of an altar, that itself is a tremendous miracle. There's much commentary how that can be. That all of the Torah in 70 languages was inscribed on these miraculous stones of this altar, all on Har Eval. Right, so now, after we got the general picture, let's concentrate on the central word is stones. The word stones in this whole story appears 5 times. Now, every time it appears in the plural, there's a principle in the Talmud that whenever you have something in the plural, it means two. Because the plural can be from two up, it can be infinite. So in order to be explicit and not to be unknown, in order to be known, we assume that it means two. So, which is the minimal plurality. So in our context, if the word appears 5 times, it means that we have at least here 10 different stones. But of these 5 times, 2 of the appearances appear with the prefix letter ha'avanim, these stones. Which often in Chazal, when you have an additional prefix letter, that means another one. So actually, there's an allusion here that there are 12 stones, that these 12 stones correspond to the 12 tribes of Israel. We're actually taught that there were indeed 12 stones that were taken. The fact that the word appears 5 times, and that each time is in itself is 2, that also alludes to the 10 commandments, also which were inscribed originally. The very first time that the Torah was inscribed in stone was the 10 commandments, and there were 5 on one and 5 on the other. That can be seen to be alluded to in the fact that the prefix letter hey, which equals 5, appears here twice. And there are 10 and there are 5. The 10 are divided into 5 and 5. So it means that there's something about these stones in this altar that it's a reflection, or it's a more perfect, a complete manifestation of the 10 commandments, which are the original phenomenon of the Torah being inscribed on stone. Right, so we have these special stones in this special altar. Now let's go one step further. The phrase that appears here, Mizbach Avanim, is called the altar of stones. So that phrase itself equals etz, equals a tree. Now let's remember what we learned about 2 weeks ago, that man is called the tree of the field. And we saw that the phrase tree of the field equals da'at, which is consciousness in general, which in particular has 6 characteristics to it. It's called the key that opens up and fills the 6 chambers of the heart. So this phrase itself, a altar of stones equals tree, equals just the word tree by itself. Because the word altar is 57 and stones is 103, together is 160, and 160 is exactly the value of etz. Now, what's unique about this mountain, it's all on the mountain which is Har Eival. The mountain Har Eival is barren of vegetation. It doesn't have trees on it. So what is that? What is then the secret that is being alluded to here? That very barren mountain is the hidden, concealed potential of the tree, and that is manifest here in this altar of stones. That the altar of stones equals a tree. is the tree on that mountain that doesn't have any trees except for this tree. And this tree is actually the tree of life, because as we said, it's not only an altar for sacrificing sacrifices on, but it's the altar to inscribe the whole Torah on in 70 languages for all of the peoples on earth. Meaning that there are many, many trees here. There are at least 70 trees. One tree for each one of the 70 peoples with its language. After the phrase Mizbach Avanim, there's another phrase that appears in this section, which is Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. It's the altar of God your God. Now, if Mizbach Avanim, which equals 160, which is 8, is added to this other idiom which appears here, Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, so together it equals exactly the word Sadeh, which is field. Let's see one more allusion. The special word that doesn't appear other places in the Torah, that the stone shall be plastered with plaster. Besadeta otam besid. So that word for seed is sin yudalet. It's a permutation of Hashem's name, shin dalet yud, the Almighty, exactly as we explained 2 weeks ago. Is the value of the word hasadeh, the field, is Sakai, so that's exactly the word seed in the Torah. Right, so we see that there's something very special about this altar with its plaster, an altar of stones and an altar for God your God, that it alludes to the tree of the field, which is actually man. But that tree of the field is the pleasure and serenity of the Almighty. And that very word Noam, we didn't explain it 2 weeks ago, but now we'll explain it now in our context. That's the word that is used for the pleasure of the Torah itself. Durachea darkei Noam, its ways are ways of pleasantness. That word Noam, which means pleasantness as well as serene, divine pleasure. So that pleasantness is here being manifest on this mountain, the mountain of the curse, in this miraculous altar. So with this we'll conclude our meditation for Parashat Ki Tavon, or the Parashah. This week's portion begins with actually the Jewish people entering into the land of Israel, because that's the name of the portion. Ki Tavon, when you will come into the land of Israel. And there are other mitzvot that are discussed here. The first mitzvah is bringing the first fruits to the temple. But then, as we said, when we come now to the fourth portion of this Torah reading, so we now have the continuation of several. Actually, what we've now seen is that this particular image of the altar with the stones is a continuation of our meditation of Parashat Ekev, and then of Parashat Re'eh, and then as Parashat Shoftim. So actually we have a continuation, or a culmination, we'll call it, of several of the meditations that we've had in the last few weeks. And what's important here is that one image that at the same time contains the epitome of our serving God and sacrificing to God, and the joy that comes with our service of God, Yivdu et Hashem v'simcha, which is the joy of entering Eretz Israel. Now joy, we'll make one more important point, that joy is the inner dimension of Bina. This Hariva we explained as Bina, as understanding. It's called the mother principle. So even though it's on the one hand it appears to be curse, but it's here the source of joy. And finally, from that source of joy comes the inscribing of the Torah on these stones and the teaching of the Torah to all of the nations on earth.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsburg. The INI Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginsburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinai team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galinai team will change the world, bring God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinai team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.